Welcome back to the Three Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
Little White Ball is live.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, KJ and T-Bone. How's it going, boys?
Good. Feeling good.
Doing good, baby.
KJ, we got you back. How you doing?
Hot.
It's a major this week.
That's why I'm hot.
Woo. I'm excited. We're not going to waste too much time on this intro because it's a major. Maybe the most underrated major, T-Bone. What do you think about the PGA?
Yeah, most underrated major, for sure.
Man.
That's in fifth.
The forgotten major. The fifth? So is the PGA the fifth major, not the players?
That's what I just said.
I just want to make sure for our audience that that is crystal clear. That is not the official position of the Three Under Par podcast, but that's T-Bone's opinion. I love it. I love it. We're coming to you from GolfSmart in Houston, so we want to say thank you to our friends from GolfSmart for letting us record here. Check us out on social media at 3UnderParPod. That is the number 3UnderParPod on Twitter and Instagram. And wherever you're listening to this, please subscribe, write us a review, and give us a 5-star rating. For this episode, we actually jumped on the horn with the Bethpage Black Bros. We literally just got off the horn with them. What'd y'all think?
Super cool dudes. The fact that they get to play Bethpage as their home course, just with how hyped up this course is, major championship venue, you would think it's a private, very exclusive club, all this going on. These guys pay anywhere from, $35, depending on Twilight, to $75 to play one of the best courses in the world.
That's amazing.
It's a cool interview. Their name's the Bethpage Black Bros, so we got some really good insight into the course that they're playing for the PGA Championship this week.
Yeah, they were really cool guys. It was really cool jumping on the horn with them. They just kind of seem guys like us, you know, just guys who love golf, guys who love to get together, play the game. So you can check them out on Instagram at Bethpage Black Bros. Everybody, go follow them. They're a really good follow, some great content. They were the last guys to play Bethpage Black. That's pretty cool. And the course was open like 2 weeks ago. They're having a major championship there, like you said, at a public course. And they have the course open to the public 3 weeks before the tournament started.
They're the last ones.
That's pretty so cool. That's so cool. It's good stuff. Before we get there, there was a little golf news this week. The Byron Nelson, Sung Kang. What is she, like 23 under?
I will give you props, Scott. You called that this tournament was going to go super low. Mm-hmm. I still wasn't familiar with the course, really. But I don't think that's going to happen this week at Bethpage.
No.
I don't think Sung Kang's going to win, and I don't think he's going to shoot 23 under. That's just me.
That's pretty bold. Bold.
Aggressive prediction by T-Bone.
Hot take?
There. Yeah, 23. Let's just say 23 under is probably not going to win. Also,
I actually got a quick poll question. What's more likely, Sung Kang to win the PGA Championship or the winner to shoot 23 under?
Nobody's shooting 23 under out there. I promise you.
So Sung Kang is more likely?
Yeah, which, I mean,
it's asking like a 0% chance to like a 0.01% chance.
Like anything times zero is fucking still zero. Like 100%.
Yeah, T-Bone's not the math guy, remember?
Yeah, Matt KJ is. He can multiply zero as well.
Well, at the Byron Nelson, in main news, it was kind of a not as good of a field as they've had in the past. You know, in the past, you've seen Tiger Woods play out there. Phil Mickelson has won out there. I think they really got screwed by the schedule change, being the week before a major, especially when you got to go all the way from Texas to New York. It's a lot of travel time in there as well. Tony Romo probably was the headline, and he's not even a professional golfer. Granted, it's Tony freaking Romo, but he actually played better than what I thought he was going to.
I agree.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
Every time I've seen him, it's like they hype it up and they show him like for a few holes, and all of a sudden he's 6 over at some point. You're just like, okay, I'm glad I watched you talk about him like the entire week before, and now he's 6 over. Thank you. I appreciate it. I feel like I'm watching Smiley Kaufman.
Shout out to Smiley Kaufman this week for finishing dead last. DFL. Hopefully he'll be able to recover. I don't know if he's recovered from his injury yet fully. Anyway, I think golf is better when guys like Smiley Kaufman are in the mix. It's good to see him back playing because he wasn't for a while. But, you know, Tony Romo, there's no doubt, I think this week showed that he can play. Maybe not at the PGA Tour level, but he can flat out play some golf.
He's a stud. I'm very biased because I'm a Cowboys fan. He's my favorite football player of all time.
I still can't believe you're a Cowboys fan.
It's unbelievable.
Both of those statements are absolutely repulsive.
It's unbelievable that a NFL quarterback is now playing on the PGA Tour. I can't get over that. I don't care what he shoots. The fact that he's there and he's playing with the guy, he's beating some people, Smiley Kaufman.
That's true.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I do want to give a shout-out to Smiley Kaufman. He's a super cool dude. Low-key almost won the Masters, and now he's just getting shit on for being bad at golf. He hasn't done anything.
Except he got bad at golf.
He got injured, and he got bad at golf, and now he's just like the laughing stock.
He has won on the PGA Tour.
he almost won the Masters.
Yes, he was in the final group at the Masters. And yeah, like you said, it's all, maybe we're a little tough on Smiley Kaufman, but we had high expectations for him.
I do like the guy. I feel like if we're playing with like PGA professionals, like he would be the most like us, just be like, oh yeah, I'll crush 12 natties with you. That'd be no problem.
That I do agree with that, but that also that loser did lose to Tony Romo. So
Tony started off hot. He birdied the first hole, and then he hits a second shot. Or his first shot on the second hole, he hits it so far right that I watched some people in the crowd. They just watched it take off, and then they just looked back at the green. Like, weren't even worried about it hitting him. Like, dead ass behind him. But then he gets up and down.
Yeah. He was, what, I think under par on his first nine holes on Thursday. Everybody was like, whoa. We've seen a few professional golfers or a few professional athletes try to make it on the PGA Tour. Steph Curry has played in a Web.com event. I think the most underrated athlete to try to make it is John Smoltz. He might be one of the best golfers out there who played a different sport at the professional level. Some other things that I saw this week, shout out to Scott Piercy. That guy did not make a bogey the entire tournament and didn't win. What? That would suck so bad.
I mean, that's stellar at all.
I don't even know what to say.
We did call it at the beginning. Like, this course, it doesn't have a whole bunch of defense. The wind's not blowing hard. And once they got that rain, you knew, you know, it's a link-style course. What does link-style have as their defense? Sometimes long rough. But the fairways were so wide. And whenever you make fairways wet, that makes them wider because you're not rolling out at any, you know, angles where you just – blowing it through the fairway. So, I mean, these guys, they're too good. They're just throwing darts, you know. I knew it was going to be low, especially once we saw that. And they had to stack the tee times that, what was it, Saturday?
Yeah.
And
yeah, because they had to finish the third round Sunday and then finish out Sunday afternoon.
Somebody was 6-under through their first seven holes on that restart. And then they had to go play another 18 holes. I don't know how they did.
Yeah, probably just ran out of gas. But, you know, to your point, Tony Romo, if we were to go out and play with him, he would probably dominate us because that's how good of a player he is. But I think that shows how good those PGA Tour guys are, that guys you've never heard of are still just roasting him. Sun Kang, really, who's heard of Sun Kang unless you follow golf that closely? I do know he does live in the DFW area, I believe like 20 minutes from Trinity Forest. So it definitely helps that he probably gets to play the course every single day when he's in town. Also, I do want to give a shout-out to Matt Every. I believe he hit his wife on an errant shot. Was that him?
Tyler Duncan?
Tyler Duncan, yes.
But it was a one bouncer, so it wasn't like, hey, your supper's going to be cold for the next 6 months.
He hit his wife in the head.
Yeah. Wait, why is she not paying attention? You're out there for me, babe. What the hell's going on? Who are you looking at?
But she's out there. Shout-out to Tyler Duncan. Yeah, Tyler Duncan.
I think it's Tyler Taylor.
Tyler Duncan's wife.
He was up there too.
On Friday, I thought of you, T-Bone. He was wearing a hoodie while he was golfing. Did you see that?
The worst.
What?
It's a disgrace. It's becoming way more common, and it's a disgrace to the game.
A hoodie?
Yeah,
how people does that are not come hoodies. And shit whip you on the backside of your face?
Morgan
Hoffman's
starting to wear them.
Really?
I'm starting to see them more and more. I guarantee you we'll see them this week.
Like a tight-fitting hoodie?
Yeah. It's like a trendy look.
Yeah, it's like the sweatshirt
hoodie.
Looks
like shit.
I'm out on that one.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else to say.
It's okay.
I thought you might have liked it because you just like something that's different, but you don't like it.
Not at all. It's a disgrace. Hoodies are not for golf. When I think of hoodies on the golf course, I think of the JV high school golf team that's getting off the school bus, that's wearing their dusty old sweatshirt because they're not good enough to have, like, good golf gear.
Hey, I know you're actually on the baseball team, but we don't have enough for a team, so you want to play golf this week? Fuck yeah, let me get my hoodie, dude.
Yeah. So, kind of
and they roll off the bus with, like, drivers with no covers on it and stuff like that. Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking of.
Well, I think that about wraps it up, except we want to focus more on the PGA Championship. We really give our preview for that tournament this weekend with the Bethpage Black Bros. It's going to be great. We give our predictions there. They give us some really good insight on how the course is looking because they live, what, 10 minutes from the course? They get to play it a lot for a great deal. I think they said, what, $70 if you go during the weekend? You get to play a championship-level course, one of the best in the world, for $70 on a weekend. That's less than Memorial Park down here.
They're pretty cool dudes, but that kind of makes me pissed off just a little bit.
Yeah. And I don't know if we already said this, but they were the last group that went off before the tournament.
That's even cooler. Like, you were the last person to be like, last person that was playing that hole was me, and now Brooks Koepka just is hitting my fat-ass divot, so good luck with that one.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. They got some really great pairings as well. Tiger Woods is playing with Francesco Molinari and Brooks Koepka. Koepka, I mean, he's the hot and trendy pick right now, right? How can you not pick against Koepka? I think I said that like 20 times in the interview, but he's playing really good golf. Good showing at the Nelson this last weekend. Tiger Woods, probably the main headline. Also, how can you not pick against Tiger Woods? If they're coming down the stretch, that is going to be some much-watched television. I'm very excited. Francesco Molinari is playing with them, had the collapse at the Masters. We'll see how Justin Rose does, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, see if Jordan Spieth can come back. Rory McIlroy is playing some good golf as well. A lot of good players, great golf course. Getting the insight from the Bethpage Black Bros was fantastic, just hearing how the course is looking because that's going to play a huge factor. I think it's going to be great that the PGA is hosting this as opposed to the U.S. Open. The USGA. USGA, my favorite people.
Oh, yeah.
The USGA. Anyway, also, Justin Thomas is not playing. That came out today. Wrist injury. What do y'all think about that real quick? Because we didn't really touch on that in the interview, but I was really bummed to see that he wasn't playing.
Yeah, I mean, the 2017 winner. Yep. So, you know, that's a major he thrives in. Even though I'm not the biggest fan, he was. I feel like he's always a contender in majors, and especially one that he's won before. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it kind of sucks.
Well, seeing how much we shit on Smiley Kaufman for, I guess, coming back too early and not having his game, I think it might be the right move to not be 100% and not play. Let it heal 100% so T-Bone and I don't talk shit about him.
You know, in terms of golf injuries, people kind of laugh at that, but a wrist injury for a golfer, you don't mess with that.
And you always see him have that wrist taped up. Yep. He almost always has it taped up.
It's like an ankle injury in basketball. They just linger. They don't go away. NBA playoffs are going on right now, so that's why it's on the mind. John Daly's having a golf cart as well. That's the other thing that caught my news. I didn't even realize he could play in this tournament. That's pretty cool. John Daly. I can't believe he's playing in this. It's awesome. And he gets a cart.
Not making the cut.
Who's the guy who always got the cart on the PGA Tour? Was it like Casey something? Back in
the
early 2000s?
Oregon coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's going to be a great tournament. We hope y'all enjoy our breakdown and PGA preview with the Bethpage Black Bros. Here it is. Okay, we are joined by the Bethpage Black Bros. Fellas, how's it going?
Good, man. Good.
All good.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Man, glad y'all are able to jump on the horn here. We're excited to have y'all on. Big week coming up, the PGA Championship. Bethpage Black Bros is pretty much in your name. You know, PGA is at the Black at Bethpage State Park. And so really just kind of want to turn it over to y'all. First off, you know, give us a little background and how y'all came up with the name Bethpage Black Bros.
Yeah, so we're from Long Island. We live like 10 minutes from Bethpage. We play there pretty often. They got 5 courses there, so we kind of just rotate on like whatever's available when we pull up for a tee time. But we figured we had to name the hardest and the best course in the country in our name. And Triple B, you know, we're not some dusty old shoe brand. We're like the real deal, the core group of guys that are going to be giving you great content from the Bethpage State Park golf courses.
There we go. That's solid.
Love it. So no affiliation to Lonzo Ball.
Not quite. I don't know. We actually dropped them recently. So we're kind of, you know, doing our own thing out here.
I'll take him as a hype man, though.
Absolutely.
I'll say that's kind of a big baller move, dropping the big baller guy.
Hey, man.
The turntables.
Big baller, big moves.
You don't make the cut, you don't make the cut.
Exactly.
Man, you know, I've heard so many good things about Bethpage, especially the Black Horse. I mean, it's famous for that sign. Did y'all grow up playing golf, or how'd y'all get into the game?
So, I started playing the earliest. I started playing probably 5 or 6. Just one of those things. My dad put a club in my hand when I was 5 years old. He said, you know, in life you got to do 2 things. You got to go ski and hit a golf ball, and outside of that, you can do whatever else you want. I think moving on, you know, most of the rest of the guys, I kind of got them into golf more in like high school, going into college. You know, we all played high school ball together, baseball together. And kind of when that fizzled out and our careers were over with, we needed a new hobby. And what's better than playing a little golf, drinking a little beer, and hanging out with your buddies?
I love it. That's pretty much exactly what we do, except we don't ski. You know, we're down here in Houston, so anytime it gets
blowing. You don't have any mountains up there?
No, we deal with hurricanes instead.
Yeah.
So y'all mentioned that y'all got to play the Black recently, and y'all got some pretty good stories about that. So, you know, the PGA is coming up this weekend. The course was open to the public just a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah, so they had it open a few weeks back. I think it's been two, three weeks since they've closed it, so they can grow out a little bit more and they can, you know, groom it the way they like. But they did the last weekend. We did like a nice little camp out. Usually, what they'll do is they'll have like a certain amount of tee times reserved for walk-ups only. Like they'll have tee times, but last weekend it being open, they did walk-ups only. So I think they let out like 30 tee times or 32 tee times. And the way you have to lock down a spot is there's numbered parking spaces in the Bethpage parking lot. And what happens is in the morning at like 5 a.m., a guy comes out of the office with tickets and bracelets. And he tickets and bracelets everyone up in each car, starting from spot one going down. And he'll only give out bracelets for the amount of people in that car. So if you only have one guy in your car, you get one person going out on that tee time, one ticket. If you have 4 guys in your car, then you got your full foursome there.
Oh, wow.
So what we kind of did the night before is, you know, they had the FootJoy Barstool Blackout going on. They were giving out a bunch of stuff. And, you know, we got there a little bit later than we had liked.
I was going to say, we actually showed up there super late. Yeah. It's kind of embarrassing. Like, we are the Bethpage Black Bros, and we didn't even know that this cool-ass event was going on at Bethpage. We, like, learned through Instagram. Like, we saw, like the chipping contest with Jimmy Walker and all that. We're like, damn, that's so dope. Like, I wonder where that's at. And then we heard that it was called the Bethpage Blackout for the people that were camping out the night before. And we rushed over there at, like, 10 p.m. and, like, picked up the scraps, like, the merchandise they were giving out.
It was rough too though, because like the night before it was raining. We didn't even know if we were gonna get out Saturday, but luckily since the FootJoy guys were there, it kind of like solidified the fact that like people were getting out, like because they had a cool event going. But yeah, so I mean, you know, the night went on, like we were drinking some beers in the tent, all that stuff. But it's a cool atmosphere because you get in that parking lot and you know everyone's kind of got their lawn chairs out, they're drinking some beers, you know, hanging out, telling some like golf war stories. And then you know 1 o'clock comes around and everyone's like, all right, time to get in the car and sleep. And, you know, for us, I slept in the car. You know, I bit the bullet.
He volunteered.
Yeah, I wanted to do it. I wanted to live the full experience.
So, he didn't draw straws, nothing. He didn't lose a bet. He just volunteered to sleep in his car overnight.
Roughest night of sleep in my life, to be honest. Because in the parking lot, too, they have every, like, lit-up lamp there, too. So, like, you have to figure out how can I hide from the light and still get comfortable. But yeah, you know, 4:30, I think, rolled around. You know, I woke up. I texted all of them to make sure they were on the way to get the car by 5. You know, they got in the car. We picked the last. We got up to the tee time desk, and they're like, "Hey, you want 10:30? It's next one up." I'm like, "Give us the last tee time at 1 o'clock. I got to go home and actually sleep because I need something before I get out there." But it was a great day out there. It was.
That's awesome. How does the all-nighter affect your game?
Did you get strokes?
Luckily, I was able to get back home and get 4 hours of sleep.
We don't have enough games for it to be too much affected anyway, you know.
I'm about to say, how many strokes y'all give?
A lot of strokes. I got my fair share. I definitely got my money's worth out there.
Awesome. So, how's the course looking?
It was in incredible shape. We play probably a couple times every summer. The greens have never been so fast and so quick and just rolling so well. It was unbelievable. So when we play a lot, we'll kind of be like match play, like play, you know, like 2v2 kind of. Me and Bill kind of play a lot as teammates. And there was one point we were on, I think, what hole was it? First par 3. Can't even count my head. 3. And, you know, I'm just off the green chipping, and Billy's like, chip it right here, land it right here. It's going to roll right next to me and stop.
I chipped it exactly where he told me to. I think it ran like 10 feet past the hole. It was just glass.
Jeez. How's the course right now? Like, what's the degree of difficulty compared to how it's normally playing?
It's pretty hard. I would say it's 9 or 10 compared to usually. Like I said, the greens are unbelievable. The one thing that's interesting is you know, what you always hear about the old U.S. Opens there is how thick and long the rough is, and that just really wasn't the case a couple weeks ago. The rough was not so bad. You can really take some pretty good cuts out of there. You know, I don't know what the next 2 or 3 weeks can be like if they're going to be able to grow it out a little more, but I think it'll be definitely more PGA Championship style where the score is a little lower versus, you know, the typical U.S. Open where you're fighting to get under par. So it'll be interesting to see how they compared to what it's been like the last couple of times the U.S. Open's been there.
That being said, I lost a ball or two in the thick rough that wasn't apparently that thick. But
yeah, like, but you had a gallery, someone like would have saw that ball.
On Island temperature, you know, the fescue grass that they have, it really grows thicker as the summer goes on. I mean, you take some other courses that we have on Long Island, like we have a Mill Pond out east. That's a course that if you're playing in the winter, it's real simple. But you get to July and you know, August, when the fescue grass grows up, that stage becomes impeccably even harder just with that alone.
Also, like, what made our round even more difficult was it was like the windiest day there's ever. Like, you would hit a pretty straight shot and it would still end up completely sideways. And I think this was the first time ever that I think I had to take into account the wind while I was putting. I was like, this is ridiculous, man.
It's interesting to say, I'd be curious to see how the PGA sets it up, because the U.S. Open has that identity, like you're saying, of the long, rough, you know, toughest test in golf. I'm personally not the biggest fan of the USGA, so it'll be interesting to see, because USGA, they just, they're a disaster in my opinion. But I'm excited for this week, man, especially, you know, obviously the first headline. Everybody's talking about Tiger Woods, right? Masters champ. Tiger's back. Golf is back. It's a great time. First off, what'd you think about Tiger's win at the Masters?
It was unreal.
Beautiful. Eggplant emojis everywhere.
I actually wasn't home. I ended up watching the entire thing, like, on my phone, but I had to make it happen. Shit was crazy.
Man, you sound like KJ. KJ was out playing golf in a scramble that morning and didn't realize they pushed the they pushed the tee times up.
Felt like a fucking idiot. Yeah, I get a text from one of my fraternity brothers. You're like, you see that putt Tiger just missed on 9? I was like, Tiger's not on 9. And he sent it to me. I was like, fuck me running. This is ridiculous.
So you guys thought it was bad that you missed that FootJoy event going on at Bethpage. At least you didn't forget about the Masters like KJ here.
Right.
Hey, happy ending, though.
Yeah, it couldn't have been any better.
Are you reading that new biography that came out on Tiger like, in the past like month or so?
No,
we're not familiar with that one.
I highly recommend it. I think the book's either just called Tiger or Tiger Woods, but I don't even know who it's by, but I'm about like 5 or 6 chapters in. It's basically like these guys compiled every interview, every book that's been written about Tiger, every single thing you could imagine, they compiled it into one work. And it starts off with Tiger as it starts off with Earl and Kalita meeting, and it goes all the way into like present day. It's like, I think 40 chapters almost, but it's a pretty good read so far.
Nice.
So let us know how that goes.
Well, I'll say I read the Big Break, or not the Big Break, sorry, the Big Miss.
Yeah, the Hank Haney one, right?
Yeah, and I thought that was incredible. I mean, it honestly just made him look like a total dick. So it'll be nice to have other chapters of his life incorporated than his terrible downfall. So I'll have to look into that.
So far, this book makes Earl look like a big dick. So
yeah. Interesting. Well, I guess it all makes sense then.
Yeah, so I guess starting off, what y'all's expectations for Tiger this week?
Tiger slam, 19th. Ooh.
I don't know, man. We needed so we obviously would love to see Tiger win. We're huge Brooks Koepka guys.
Oh.
So we would love it to see Brooks win as well. So, like, we're kind of torn here because we're obviously pulling for the Tiger slam. But if Brooks Koepka won, I don't know if we could be happier.
If you give me a Sunday morning with Brooks Koepka and Tiger both going for the win, I'm going to be the happiest guy at that stage.
I don't know, man. I'd be stressed because I wouldn't want either of them to lose at that point.
I need a Brooks win. Brooks over Tiger every day of the week.
Damn. Yeah, no, that's tough to say, but I'm kind of with that.
Yeah, Brooks, you know, we've kind of talked about him a lot so far on this podcast. He's been so under the radar, but this year with his comments about slow play, and then you got Brandel coming out there on the Masters just ragging on him for losing all that weight, and then he still goes out and finishes second. I don't know how you can't pick Brooks Koepka this week to defend his
He's finishing in the top two in his last, like, five majors or something?
Yeah, his last, it's like, crazy. 10 majors appearances, you look back at, like, the numbers, it's unbelievable. He's got, like, 6-7 top 10 finishes, like, top three or four.
He just shows up.
Unreal. When it matters the most, he shows up every time, it feels like.
Yeah, because what are they saying? Because he lost all that weight for that photo shoot, and they're giving him shit for it, and he still came out and hitting nukes out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, yeah, like I think I said last episode that, like, we got to start mentioning him first time because Jordan Spieth really hasn't done much really since his, I would say, his Open win. What was that, 2017? He hasn't done that much. And then I guess one of the other headlines this week, y'all see that Justin Thomas just pulled out of the tournament?
Wrist injury.
Guys afraid of the thick stuff.
There we go.
He doesn't want to hurt that wrist even more when he's trying to hit it out of the rough.
Oh, yeah. A question I had for you guys was, I feel like back in the day when there was U.S. Opens at Bethpage Black, the fans gave Sergio so much shit and just really just got in his head. What are New York golf fans like? Are they different? Are they like normal golf fans, or is it kind of a mix? Like, what are you guys like?
Oh, no, it's golf fans on steroids, man. They're going to get on some guys, Sergio. You know, the Patrick Reeds of the world, if they don't like you, it's game over. The Ryder Cup there in 4 years will be can't miss event. But
no matter what, there's going to be two guys who are going to feel all the love this weekend. Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. They will be able to do no wrong.
Yeah, they can walk on water out there, right?
Yeah, exactly. New York fans love you. There's probably nothing better in the world. When they hate you, oof, you're going to have a tough time.
That's the thing, but they have to expect it at this point, right? And they got to know coming into it that they're going to either get rashed on or just get, like, absolutely praised.
Who knows? Billy Horschel might throw out a few guys if they keep jumping at him. Yeah, you know, I was seeing some videos earlier today, actually, that the weather doesn't look the best right now. Do you think that's going to play a factor?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think so. I actually think the weekend is looking like a little nicer than Thursday, Friday. But I mean, like, obviously, like, if it's going to be kind of wet out there, it'll make it easier for the guys to hit the green and obviously stick it close. But I mean, we'll see like how it holds up in terms of like the wind and all that. But yeah, man, it's obviously going to affect how long they play and how close they can keep it to the flag.
Yeah, I have to say, when we played a couple weeks ago with the wind going crazy, it felt like every hole is into the wind. I don't know if that was just us or what. You could literally turn back around and just be wind in your face 30 miles an hour both times.
Yeah, man, hole 10 and 11 are just parallel to each other, and they're running in opposite directions. And every single time we play, we're like, the wind is in our face every single time for both holes, and it makes no sense.
I distinctly remember one of the par threes. I was sitting over my, like, I had like a birdie putt. I was like, I want to wait till this gust of wind stops so I can putt. And I was, like, standing over the ball for, like, 5 minutes. I'm like, all right, I just got to punt it at some point because this wind's not stopping. I missed it, just so everyone knows.
He definitely missed the putt.
So just so we can get kind of an idea of, you know, how hard he's playing, I don't really know y'all's handicaps, but for the average golfer, I assume y'all are about – what are y'all's handicaps, and what did y'all shoot? If an average golfer was going out there, what do you think he would be doing out there?
So I'm a 7. Shot a 92, and I thought I played okay, you know, a couple shots here and there, but I thought that was a pretty fair score. I think
a couple more scores over 100. Rough day.
Yeah,
we're like Sambo, what, like 14s and 16s maybe.
I think my thing on my app right now, because I'm like a 19, but like I've had some pretty shitty rounds in that 19, so.
Okay, hey. So when you have the best players in the world out there, you guys knowing the conditions probably better than most people, what do you think the winning score is going to be? And we talked about how it's not going to be a U.S. Open type deal where, you know, an even par is going to take it. What do you think is going to be the winning score?
If I had to put money on it, I would say 8 under.
I was about to say 9, yeah.
I was going to go 11.
I think double digits would be, if you get to double digits, I think you
auto win.
You feel pretty good about yourself there?
The only thing that's making me say 11 is that it's PGA and not USGA.
Yeah. What? Tambo, what does that even mean, dude? What? You don't even know what that means, dude.
Yeah, okay. How does the black compare to other courses out there? You mentioned they have five. Like us here in Houston, we live all pretty close to the city. If you want to find a really good course besides like a really nice country club, you got to go out to the suburbs. Having five courses like that 10 minutes from your house would be sick. That would be awesome. So how does the black also has that sign where it's like warning skilled golfers only. Like I would almost piss my pants if I saw that.
Yeah, man. And, play. And also the first tee shot is like kind of sunken in where like there's tons of people that could be just standing on like the patio area there. So you're like looking down upon like on a balcony kind of sort of thing. So it is absolutely terrifying with that sign there, with the clubhouse there and that patio, just all the people watching you.
I bet it feels like they're almost like, I don't want to cliche you guys, but it's a New Yorker fan hoping you guys shank it into the weeds or something.
No doubt.
Exactly.
No doubt.
Exactly. You're like, if I have one good shot today, this has to be it.
Now, but going back to how it's different than the other ones, you see yellow, green, and blue, so they're all three easier courses. I would say they're your typical municipal golf course, you know, you can go out to your typical public course.
Beautiful holes,
though. Yeah, they're nice. They're, you know, your 6,700-yard courses. They're nice. And then you have the red course, which is what you consider the baby brother of the black course. You can actually ride parks on that course, unlike the black course, you have to walk. And I would say the red course is not at the black level, but it's pretty close. You know, if you're going to go spend a weekend at Bethpage, definitely get around into the red course. Like, no doubt, worth every penny of it. You know, not on the black level, but not that far off.
There are a couple of holes on red that are actually probably better than black, I would say.
Yeah, they've been talking about moving, like, the 18th hole of black to, like, the 18th hole of red to make it more difficult at times. Like, there's been rumors flying around for years they might, you know, possibly work in the red course into the black course for these big tournaments. But
yeah, and for the less skilled golfers, like, course, like, the green and stuff, like, green, the first couple holes run right along the black, too. So you get to, like, the aesthetically beauty part of the black, but you're still playing a slightly easier course, you know?
But you could also
way easier course.
but it's also funny because you can see like how much shittier it is compared to the black horse because it's literally running right next to it.
And then like you look like I actually went over to the setup they had like earlier this weekend because I went and bought some merch at the merch tent and well not merch tent like merch store. The thing was bigger than a tent, like a Walmart in there. But when I went down there, it's cool because they had like the yellow setup as like the range. So when you walk in, like, what would have been the first couple holes of the yellow and the blue are actually like fully like made in full practice facilities where they got like, you know, mini green set up and like a nice little range set up. So it looked really awesome actually going into the setup now.
So I think one of the neat things that this being at a public course, most tour events are courses that we can only see on TV and, you know, the average golfer can't get on. What are the price ranges for these courses? Like if you were going to play the same course Tiger Woods playing this weekend, how much would that run you?
Oh man, Bethpage Black might be the best deal in the country, man. Pro course for $75 for New York residents. And I think it's $150 for non-New York residents, right?
Non-residents $150.
So it's $65 on weekdays. Weekends is $75. And they do twilight during the summer. If you catch it at twilight, you could pay $39 to get on.
No way. That's ridiculous.
$39 to walk 18 after 4 p.m. when they do offer the twilight
room. You know, you go out there at 4 p.m. and it's unbelievable. You get 15, 16 holes in and for $30, you know, you can't beat that.
Yeah, exactly. I actually have a friend that kept his fake ID from college because it was a New York ID and he only uses it to come play black on Long Island because he's not from New York.
That's awesome.
That's great.
He's like, it actually comes in super handy because he's like, I get $75 off this golf round, but it's just by keeping my fake ID from college.
That's awesome.
It's funny because when I was camping out the night before, there was a guy who he flew down from Canada because he's on his bucket list was to play Bethpage, and it really made me kind of open my eyes. Like, I almost take it for granted. This is my backyard. This guy, like, he, and I'm not saying he flew down from like a local spot. He drove 10 hours to an airport, then flew to New York and stuff in his car to pay $150 to play this course. So it's crazy, like, when I think about it that way.
Yeah, we got a few championship-type level courses here in town. you know, you got the Golf Club of Houston, which hosts the Houston Open, but then that's going to move to Memorial Park. You got Champions, which I think they're having like the U.S. Women's Open there, or qualifiers. Occasionally they've had a few qualifiers here or there, but nothing like that. Like, I'm so jealous of y'all. But then again, we also get to play golf year-round.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we make it year-round because we actually head down to Hilton Head twice a year. Bill's got a house down there, so we head down and play some of the courses on Hilton Head Island.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. I think I'd seen a few of y'all's posts about that. That looked pretty cool. Me and T-Bone have played down Hilton Head a handful of times, and it is beautiful in that part of the country.
Yeah, man. Sweet.
You can't beat it down there, especially the March, April, October, November time of year. It's unbelievable weather all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome down there. Another question I had. So when you guys are waiting in your cars, is that something you have to do every weekend, or is that just like when it's specifically busy times of the year?
So they still save, I think it's like one or two times every hour of our stay for walk-ups. So like when it's non, like they only did walk-ups only because, you know, how special it was to have this event here and how anticipated it was. But when the summer's like, when we get to, you know, late June, July, when it opens back up, like, they'll reserve, like, at least, I think, 2 tee times an hour to the people who sleep out in their cars, because they want to keep it residential, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but typically, you can – there's, like, an online reservation thing where you can make tee time 7 days out. So it's, like, if you want a tee time for next Saturday, you'd go online at 7 p.m. the Saturday prior and try to book a tee time. But it's, like, crazy process at 7 p.m., everyone refreshes their computer, and you hope to God you somehow click and get a tee time. Like, you could be on there at 7:01, and all the tee times are gone the next Saturday morning.
Dang. Well, it sounds like you guys have the system down. We'll definitely have to get y'all's help if we ever play up there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, for sure, man.
I love it. It's you know, it's definitely a special event. So I guess going back to the tournament itself, we mentioned Koepka. I think Koepka is going to be a very popular pick, especially, you know, he placed, what, fifth at the Byron Nelson this last week.
Yeah.
Who else should we keep our eye out for?
Ooh.
I think the course is anyone that's going to hit it long and straight. You can hit fairways on this course. You can score. I think McIlroy's got to be a favorite right up there with him.
Xander,
let's go.
Xander, need it.
So what's the pick behind Xander? What's the kind of logic behind that? He's not a long guy.
Yeah, that's fair. But I just think he's playing super well, and he's got his major on his belt. He, you know, plays well under pressure, and he's going to show out for this one, I think.
So you think the course, the way it sets up, it's favoring the bomber?
Yeah, it's just such a long course, and assuming the rough grew out a little bit since the last couple of weeks, it's a course you need to be – you need to hit it far, and you need to just be in the fairway. And anyone that has that can put in the fairway has a shot. You know, the approach shots I don't think are as important. You got to shake your shots up the tee a little more than anything else. And if you can do that, you got a shot. I think a guy like Finau is hitting the ball long and straight lately. Can do pretty well there too. Let me know. Mm-hmm.
So a guy with a couple of majors under his, or a major under his belt recently, Francesco Molinari, not known at all for a long ball hitter, but very, very accurate. So you would definitely say length over accuracy, or vice versa. Would you rather hit one 280 off the tee in the fairway, or have somebody hitting it 330 in the rough?
I think definitely in the fairway. I think fairway is definitely most important. The way that rough grows out, and assuming, like I said, if it grows in a little more, you're out of the rough, you can't spin it at all, you got some weird pin locations you'll have it at, some weird elevations. I think you definitely need to be in the fairway to have a shot.
True.
Nice. Are you guys planning to go any days of the tournament?
Yeah, man, we'll be there Saturday and Sunday. We'll be there when it matters. We'll see the final groups come down. Hopefully we'll get a good spot and we could watch a couple holes here and there and see some of the best guys.
Where are the good spots to go? Or rather, where are the party holes going to be out there?
Ooh.
So we're talking about, there's a spot, the 17th tee is a par 3. You have the monster par 4 15, like a 460, 470 uphill par 4. So you get to see the tee shot on that one. You can see the approach shot on 16 into the green, and then you can also see the tee shot on the 17th par 3, which is probably one of the more iconic par 3s there, I guess, is there, like,
yeah,
the signature par 3. You
only get a glimpse
of the green on one as well.
Yeah, so it's like the only spot where you can sit in the grandstand and see 4 or 5 ridiculously nice shots at one time. So that's our kind of our plan right now to see if we can sneak in there and get a spot in like the top left corner of that grandstand.
So have you guys been to a tournament there before?
Yeah, I actually went to the Barclays there in, what was that, 2016? That was like right before we went to college. So that was the last time I had, that we had seen a tournament there, yeah.
Yeah, I think I went in 09 with the last US Open, on like one of the super rainy days. So we hung out in the tents more than anything else that day.
I saw you guys checking out some of the spots when you were giving each other a round of applause with the little 3-foot tap in from the bleachers. So.
Hey, man, I was going to say, actually, the stairs weren't even built yet, so I had to, like, climb up the side of the grandstand and get up there.
Hey, I think you got to do it. I mean, there's not many times, even if it's one person, if you're getting a round of applause from the crowd at Bethpage, it's pretty cool. You don't have to give them the details, though.
Exactly. Life-changing. It was definitely the first attempt of the 3-footer, too.
Just kidding. He didn't miss it at all.
Yeah, so. I didn't miss the first one.
Scott and I flew up, we flew into New York, and we went and watched the first playoff event, I believe, in 2017. And it was when Harvey hit down here, the hurricane, and I was up there for 8 or 9 days, I believe. We got to watch, you know, DJ and Jordan Spieth when they were going down into the playoff. I can't remember.
What course? I think it was like Oak Hill or
Was it Shinnecock?
No.
It was when Dustin Johnson beat Jordan Spieth in the playoff.
Yeah.
And DJ just carried it over the water. Oh, man, what course was that?
I know what shot you're talking about, but I don't know what course that was.
That course was in the most immaculate shape I've seen out of any PGA Tour event I've ever been to. And there was literally people walking with every group. And if grass was out of place after they went through, they'd fix it. If there's tee left, half a tee left on a tee box, they would remove it. It was really ran well, and I think we had a good time. Spending an extra 7 days up there after that was interesting.
Glen Oaks. It was Glen Oaks. That's where it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that's a private club around here. None of us is like, we can't get on that course. We're not cool enough. Time. I don't know.
Not members just yet.
Yeah, members. Hey, they're not the Glenbrook Bros, the Bethpage Black Bros.
Oh, that's right.
Exactly. My guy knows.
Yeah, it was funny because we were literally stuck there because Houston was underwater. So spent like an extra week in New York. It's, I guess, their worst places to be.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly. You get to play anywhere out there?
No, we didn't. We went to the tournament and Scott's dumbass actually flew back into Dallas and tried to drive back. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm in New York and I have an excuse to stay here. Like, I'm not paying anything to stay here. Like, what?
It all worked out, but we had to wait literally about a week for the water to subside down here. But that was pretty intense. But no, dude, I love y'all's name, and I love the fact that y'all go out and play public courses, because one thing we always talk about is how to make golf just more fun and accessible to just the average players and whatnot. And yeah, you know, going out to country clubs is cool and whatnot, but what's just public golf like up in New York?
Is that one of like the only courses y'all try to play? Just every time you get on, that's it? Bethpage, or is there other courses? I don't even know courses around there.
So really, you got Bethpage at 10 minutes, you got those 5 courses, which I would say we play about most of the time. But if you go out east, not like towards like the Hamptons, 45 minutes out east, there's some really solid public courses out there. They're a little less played because it's a little less populated out in that area. There's like the Mill Pond, the World, Swan Lakes. Like, there's some really, really nice golf courses, man. But the public golf in Long Island is really just hanging out with your buddies, you know, having a couple beers and
exactly.
Having a good time at the end of the day. There's nothing better than that.
Yeah, also with the convenience of Bethpage having 5 courses, like we literally just pull up and play like next available whenever we're not trying to play black, and that's kind of just like the route we go because it's legit in our backyard, and we'll get a good experience out of the courses there.
Right.
Yeah, it sounds like there's no reason to go anywhere else for you guys.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We're getting a discount with y'all's name. It's like, this is free publicity for you guys, and plus we're also pretty stellar golfers, if you can't see.
Hey, man, love it. Triple B out here.
There you go.
Well, I just pulled up actually our major predictions preseason. Before the year got started, we all made major predictions. So I guess I'll run through that real quick. I picked Tony Finau, KJ picked Francesco Molinari, and T-Bone picked Jordan Spieth.
Dumbass.
T-Bone, do you want to stick with Jordan Spieth or do you want to pick somebody else?
Spieth.
Hey, this was months ago.
Have you seen this guy?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a bum. Yeah, I don't think my preseason projections have changed a little bit. I'm going to be cliche but smart and go with Brooks Koepka.
I
think I'm going to go with the Triple B team on this one.
So yeah,
I think he's going to be tough to beat.
Smart
so
man.
Let's hear y'all's predictions. Who's taking the cake this week?
Ooh. Hmm.
I thought it'd be someone different too.
No, I agree. I think I'd go Rory.
Really?
Yeah, right. My guy this week. I'm riding off the high. We're going.
Has he been playing lately? I haven't seen him in a tournament. Is he coming off like four weeks rest?
Dude, he won the Players.
Yeah, which was early May.
March, but
I mean
whatever.
March, yeah. March.
Rory learns how to putt, man. He'll be dangerous out there.
I just think long and straight is his thing.
Long
as go to here.
That's what I'm saying. So if he gets in the hole, he'll be all right.
Yeah.
and I'm still rolling with Brooks Koepka out here.
All right, so we got Rory and Brooks on the books. What's our third one over there?
And I got Tiger. I'm rolling with the passion from the Masters. He's won at Bethpage before. He's won at Augusta before. This is his year. He's back.
Sounds like we still got a slight chub over there.
Love it.
And we got
the guy rocking the onesie to the tournament on Saturday.
Yeah. There we go.
The Tiger onesie. He just bought it.
KJ, that's how phenomenal. About you? Are you going to stick with Molinari?
No. I mean, he's as accurate as it gets, but I think Brooks Koepka is there's nobody going to beat Brooks Koepka. I really don't. He's playing well. Even not winning, he's right there. And the guy shows up for majors. He is a majors player. Every major, whether he wins or not, he's there.
I think I'm going to stick with Tony Finau. I'm going to stick with Tony Finau.
Can Tony Finau not come in second place? Like ever?
Oh, that is a good point. You know, he's going to break through.
Like if it came down to Tony Finau and Ricky Fowler, they would literally tie for second somehow. they would find a way and just tie for second.
Well, I picked Ricky for the U.S. Open, so I gotta stick with that. But the black, you gotta be long off the tee, right? And you need a guy who can bomb it.
Yeah.
Hopefully, just and obviously Finau played well at the Masters as well. Hopefully, he'll be able to learn from that experience. So, Tony Finau, he's my guy.
There you go. I like that pick.
Also, Brooks is a guy that's not going to let the New York crowds get to him either. Very composed kind of guy. Stays laser focused.
People have been throwing shit at him this whole time, and he's still performing, like, peak performance. Like, how do you even shit on the guy? I hate slow players. That's great. You know, he's on board with that. He bombs the shit out of the ball. He shows up in every major. Like, you can pick some guy winning some rinky-dink PGA Tour stop tournament, or some guy who shows up in every major.
Yeah, exactly. And his girlfriend's super hot.
Yes. That is also a little extra bump right there.
so he has to be prepared. Like, if he's not mentally prepared, he's going to be physically prepared for sure.
Oh, my God. I love it.
All right, boys. Well, I think that's all we got on our end. Is there anything else that y'all want to touch or cover or anything that we missed?
I think we're good on our end. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I think that's all the stories we got from Bethpage from our last outing. I know we appreciate you guys having us on. This was dope. Hopefully we can do it again sometime, and hopefully you guys make it up here and we can hit the black.
Yeah, yeah, you know, we were kind of shooting around the idea that we should do like a little Ryder Cup thing. We might have to go find a fourth player, but because there's only three of us here, hence the name Theron Depar. But you know, I think that'll be pretty fun. You know, good content as well, since we're in the content game.
Maybe we should meet somewhere in the middle, since they kind of have a little home field advantage, home field it advantage. Sounds like.
Yeah.
we'll give you one of our guys over here. We'll give you that here, too.
You guys have Tambo.
Yeah, you guys
have Tambo. Oh, you can't start trading people off. He's not making the cut either, huh?
Yeah, man, I'm down to meet in the middle. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, anytime.
Hey, awesome. Well, thanks a lot, fellas, for jumping on. It's going to be a great week at the Black. I'm jealous y'all are going to be there because we're just going to be watching on our couches, wishing that we were up there at the PGA. Well, y'all fun out there.
Appreciate it, man.
Sounds good.
Hey, awesome. Y'all take care.
All right, man. Thanks for having us.
All right, peace.